the difference between an adder and a grass snake.
Do you know how Christopher Columbus discovered America?
Look at our town.
Do you know that if you add caustic nitrate to diphenyl benzoic acid, it explodes? Well, here's your chance to learn as you broaden your mind.
Good evening. This program is an encyclopedia of the air. Could we have some lights, please? Thank you. Good evening again. This program is an...
Could I have my lights, please?
...is an encyclopedia...
Thank you, Nigel.
...of the air. It is not, however, a program designed for the expert.
Dear me, no. In this modern world where tomorrow may see you on a hovercraft to America or diving to the bottom of the sea in search of sunken... hovercraft to America. What we all need is a good, sound basis of general knowledge.
Yes, I mean, everybody knows that 2 sevens are 14.
15,
sorry. But geography... geography today is more than just a list of kings and queens.
Oh, yes, much more.
Much more. And so, with the aid of... with the aid of this computer, we have devised a program to bring you up to date with all the latest developments in art, science, history, literature, and so forth. Well, let's see what the subject the computer has decided for us tonight. And we start, logically enough, with Arsenal 2, Manchester United 1.
Which is, of course, computer talk for art.
I'll see you never work again.
Art has come a long way since the days of Leonardo da Vinci. We are all familiar with his famous work, The Mona Lisa, or The Laughing Cavalier, as it's sometimes called. But modern abstract art is a different kettle of fish. And to most of us, an abstract painting seems no more than a complete waste of paint. But are we right? Are we right in dismissing these works of art so lightly? Is abstract painting really so difficult to understand?
No, it isn't. For example, let us study this work, Cosmic Interlude 43, by the artist Jonathan Prout, who is standing here beside me. Jonathan Prout, the most immediately striking thing about your work is the surface, the unusually smooth texture you've managed to obtain in this oil painting.
It's a watercolour, actually.
No, this is oil, surely.
Is it?
It's oil, all right, yes. Now, Jonathan Prout, perhaps you try and explain to us what exactly you're saying in this painting.
Yes, well, this is an attempt to analyse man's insecurity in relation to his contemporary environment.
Which you show through the figure of the little dog.
Little dog?
Yes, the little dog. It's a masterpiece of understatement.
There's no little dog.
Well, I mean, you and I know there's a little dog in the painting, but perhaps I'd better emphasise it just for the sake of the viewers. Now, what you're showing is man's basic insecurity through the figure of the little dog in relation to the little man.
What little man?
This little man.
No little man in my picture. I never met any little man. No, please. No, don't do that. You put legs on him. Stop, leave him alone. No. What I was trying to do was capture modern man's insecurity in his environment in this essentially mechanical age.
Which is precisely why you show the little man pouring soap powder into the washing machine.
Well, no, wait a minute.
Now, Jonathan Prout, no doubt many of your critics will ask you, why you chose to paint the little man wearing a hat.
But you put that hat on. I didn't put that hat on there. Because the sun was very hot, that's why.
Oh, I see. And the heat brought out the nasty big spider up here.
No, it was a cloudy day.
And it was windy.
No, it wasn't. It was raining.
And that brought out all the little flowers.
And a great big thunderbolt came down from the sky and struck the little man dead. Bang!
And then along came the ambulance.
Oh, that does it. I've had enough. I might as well go home and chop my ear off. Snip, snip. I bet they never took it to lose a track like this. Boom, boom, ba-dum.
I may not know much about art, but I like a painting that tells a story.
In our history section tonight, Sir Professor Frederick Pottermore here and myself.
Sir Edward Windward?
Yes, what is it, Freddy?
I was telling them who you were, Teddy.
Well, tonight we shall be looking at the Magna Carta.
This is just a facsimile.
Not the real thing.
Not the real thing at all.
However, we shan't just be telling you about it.
Won't we, Teddy?
No. By way of an educational experiment, we shall be acting out for you.
Oh, in dramatic form.
In dramatic form.
Very dramatic.
The signing of the Magna Carta by King John at Runnymede in 1215.
I am the leader of the Baron. Correct.
And I, do you see, am King John.
This is a facsimile of the Magna Carta.
Not the real one, no. And away we go.
King John.
Yes.
Sign here, please.
Certainly.
There you go. You know, Teddy, I have a feeling there should be a little more to it than that.
Oh, we've missed out the first bit.
Oh, so we have. Yes. Better start again.
Start again. We're going to start again, you
everybody,
see.
Yes, you see. Knock, knock.
Come in. What do you mean?
That was a sound effect, Teddy. Knock, knock.
No, Teddy. No. There were no doors at Runnymede, Freddy. Yes, it was in the open air.
Sorry, yes. Teddy. Sorry.
Start again.
Yes, sorry. Knock, knock.
Start again without knocking. What are you waiting for, Freddy?
I was waiting for you to ask me to come in.
Come in?
Thank you. Here I am.
Who are you?
It's me, Teddy.
I can see you. I am not speaking as King John.
I follow you, yet. I am Baron Fitzwater. Do you like the acting, Teddy?
Yes.
I am Baron Fitzwater of Dunmore and Baynard's Castle, yea.
Oh, I like it, yes. And what? What do you want?
We barons are revolting.
That's a very old joke, Freddy.
I'm a very old man, Teddy. Anyway, you are a bad king.
Well, you're no great shakes as a baron yourself, Freddy.
I'll take that as an insult.
Oh, I see what you mean, yes.
What on earth are you doing, Teddy?
I'm being bad. Knickers.
Hey, it wasn't that bad, Teddy. Not at all.
Sorry.
It's much nicer than that.
Yes, sorry.
Yes, anyway, we barons demand that you sign this facsimile of the Magna Carta.
Not the real.
Not at all, no.
Yeah.
Better read it.
Better read it first.
I think so.
John, that's me, you see. By the grace of God, King of England, Lord of Ireland, Duke of Normandy and Aquitaine.
Oh.
To all his archbishops, bishops, earls, barons.
That's me.
Yes. Stewards, sheriffs, servants, and to all his official and loyal subjects. Greeting.
Hello.
Not ready.
I'm sorry.
To all freemen of our kingdom.
Yes.
We have granted all these liberties.
Hooray! Hooray! God save the king!
What are you doing, Freddy?
This is the good news spreading round England, Teddy. Hooray!
Do stop it, Freddy.
It hasn't reached the West Country yet. Oh. Hooray! Hooray! That is the end of the good news, and now look at the bad weather.
Shut up.
I'm sorry, Teddy.
Let's get on to the signing bit.
Yes, right, sir.
Yes.
King John.
Yes.
Sign this.
Oh, I've already signed it.
Oh, well, you better just endorse it on the back. You know how fussy they
get. Yes. And that, you see, is the story of the signing of the Magna Carta.
Yes. Next week, we will be going on the crusade. So I'm afraid we won't be able to be with you. Good night. Are you off then, Teddy?
Shut up.
Not, not.
Tonight we are in the Royal Opera House, Covent Garden, to hear the little-known operatic work El Budgerigar by Johann Sebastian Oyster Prejudice. The libretto is based on an old traditional Latvian folk joke which concerns the story of a woman who has two budgerigars, one green and one red one. One day, they escape and fly to the top of a high tree. But no one will rescue them except the village idiot, who climbs the tree and brings down the red budgerigar. When the villagers ask him why he did not bring down the green one, he has a very good answer. And now, El Budgerigar.
Oh, what a glorious day! The sun is shining.
The sun is shining upon our little village.
It is indeed a glorious day. Yes, it is on days like this that jokes happen.
Help! Help! Help!
Huck, did you hear that?
Isn't that the voice of old Mrs. Dodger Poultice? Of old Mrs. Dodger Poultice? Dodger Poultice.
No! It is Mrs. Smith! And isn't she the lady with two budgerigars, one green one and one red one?
Yes! One green one and one red one.
Help! My two budgerigars have escaped!
No!
They have
flown to the top of a happy tree. Get away.
Oh, who will catch them for me? Who will catch them? Who will catch them?
Not us.
Oh, please, please. Who will catch them?
No, I will catch them.
Who are you?
I am. Just a minute, it's on the tip of my tongue. I am Tom the Village Idiot. All right, then. Watch me.
Behold, he is climbing the tree. Higher and higher. See, he has reached the budgerigar. Well, I never.
And now he's coming down again.
Let us see. He has
had, and he brought down the red budgie.
Why?
Bring it down because
tell us why did you not bring down the green budgie?
Well, how are you getting on so far?
I do hope we haven't been going too fast for you. Good. Straight on with the next topic, which is music, and in particular, opera.
We've just done music.
We have, in fact, just done music, so we probably won't be doing it again.
Well, instead of doing music again, we'll probably look at law.
Yes, law. During the next few weeks, we will be studying the law. This week, we take a look at the police. In Britain today, the image of a policeman is not a very good one. But to be fair to him, we must remember that he is the... Yes, the clock... puppy of society.
Watchdog
of society. I'm not going too fast for you. Not a very good image, is it? But as we can see from the following film, it is the policeman's intention to help all in need.
Even in the face of intense provocation, the policeman must always be diplomatic. He must never be too hasty, and he must assemble all his facts before he decides to act. Still retain his tact.
Oh, excuse me, sir.
Oh! What?
Excuse me, sir, but you're not allowed to swim in this river.
Well, why didn't you tell me before I got undressed?
Oh, well, no law against getting undressed.
It must be remembered that the policeman usually has to deal with the less desirable members of society.
Barmaid. Hello. Easy though.
Well,
Well, Constable Hotchkiss, what's the charge?
Attempted burglary, Sergeant. I caught him red-handed.
Well done, Hotchkiss. Now, sir, your name, please.
Sometimes it is true the policeman gets the credit he deserves.
Hello. I have with me the hero of today's news, PC Cake. Early this morning at 10 o'clock, at this very spot, a closed van drew up, and three masked men jumped out. They rushed in here through the doors of the bank, and passers-by heard shots and sound of a disturbance. The men attacked the staff, but one cashier managed to sound the alarm. Hearing the alarm, the gallant PC rushed to the scene, where, outnumbered, he put up a gallant fight. And so, empty-handed, the three men made their getaway. And we've just heard that the three masked men have struck again. It's all from this busy part of London. Good night.
Even on the most joyful of evenings, the honest Bobby must be there in force.
Hospitality customs vary the world over, and the host-guest relationship differs from one country to another. For instance, if you were to go to the far north and visit an Eskimo, he would consider it hospitable to offer you his wife. Whereas if you were to visit America, the same thing would probably apply. In the Middle East, however, your host would invite you into his tent and hospitably offer you a sheep's eye. If you refused, he would hospitably cut your throat. And so it goes on. Tonight, however, let us analyze in depth our own hospitality behavior patterns and the host-guest relationship.
Hello, Mr.
Figgy. Yes, I do hope I'm not too early.
What? No, no, not at all, no.
Good. Skip the bath, darling.
Yeah!
Well, the curate's arrived. It's very kind of you to invite me like this.
Yes.
Thank you so much. What a very kind of you to invite me so much. I do love your picture. Very kind of you to...
Hat.
Oh, hat? Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, excuse me.
That's a cupboard.
Yes.
Sorry.
Shall we,
very kind of you.
Go
on, sorry, yes.
Yeah.
Who I say, what a lovely big cupboard, eh?
No, this is the living room.
Oh, it's the living room. Oh, good heavens, it's not a cupboard at all, is it?
No,
it's not.
Well, why don't you find somewhere comfy to sit down, and I'll go and get you a sherry.
That's very nice. Thank you.
Sorry, I should have asked you. You're not one of these silly people with stupid ideas about drinking, are you? I mean, you do drink, don't you?
Rather.
Oh, I see. Darling, we shall need another bottle.
Yes.
I'll pop down and get one. You go in there and keep him quiet, will you?
But darling, what should I talk to him about?
I don't know. Ask him what he does for a living. I don't think you've met my wife.
I'm sorry about that. It's awfully kind of you to go to all this trouble.
No, it's no trouble at all.
Tell you the truth, I didn't even know you were coming till this afternoon.
Oh, really?
Darling, I did warn you.
You didn't.
Do you remember he was supposed to be going to the Andersons, but they said they didn't want him tonight, so I said that we'd have him.
You didn't tell me. You did not tell me. You didn't say anything.
Sorry,
I must have forgotten all about it. You didn't tell me.
Well, Mr. Figgis, would you like to eat now or later?
Oh, any time. I'm in no hurry.
Well, we shouldn't really leave it too late.
No, we shouldn't leave it too late, should we? So, what about eating now?
Straight away.
Fine.
Oh, I'll see what I can do. Grace?
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry to rush you, but Mr. Figgis wants to eat now.
Doesn't, really.
Well, Mr. Figgis, would you like to eat up at the table, or would you like to sit down and eat off your knees, or what?
Well, it's probably simplest if we just stay here and have it off our knees and this.
You're quite happy there.
Fine, thank you, yes.
Fine.
Oh.
I do hope you don't think we're rude, but we always eat up at the table. Could you serve Mr. Figgis here, please?
Thank you, Your Grace. Great, thank you. I must say, Mrs. Maitland, you're very lucky with Grace. Servants are so difficult to come by these days.
Grace, darling, pass the salt to Daddy.
Yes, Mummy.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Figgis, you were saying.
I was saying something, wasn't I? I heard myself distinctly saying something. What do you call this dish, I said?
Why don't you like it?
Yes, I like it a lot. Isn't it extraordinary how 1 minute you can be ravenously hungry, and the next minute... I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a complete, utter pig of myself, complete utter pig, and have one last mouthful. Delicious. Absolutely delicious.
Didn't he? No, he only had rice. Real house. Why did you eat it? Must have tasted simply awful.
No, it was a little bit awful. I like it like that.
What would you like now? Coffee or tea?
Whichever's easier.
Yeah, they're both just as easy.
Well, perhaps a little
coffee.
Tea then. Coffee, as you wish.
You did say coffee.
Actually, I did say tea, but...
Well, then have some tea. Unless you'd rather have coffee.
Either, honestly.
Which?
Coffee.
Tea.
Tea, coffee. tea, fine, delicious, lovely tea. We'll have to
tea
have
it is, then.
Splendid.
Isn't there no china?
Pardon?
Isn't there no china tea?
Chindian. No. whichever you're having, I'll have that.
Well, of course, Mr. Figgis, we actually don't have anything.
Oh, don't you? I normally have nothing either, so that's all right. I don't...
Oh, it's all right, Grace. He seems to have changed his mind again.
Now then, Figgis, you don't have to rush off anywhere, do you?
No.
Now, I'm terribly sorry you haven't had very much. Anything I can give you?
Oh, that's all right. It's just a pleasure to be able to sit down and relax, to tell you the truth.
Well, sit down and relax, then. Make yourself comfortable.
That's nice.
We have to dash off to the theatre now. But you just stay put, help yourself to anything you can.
Good heavens, 7:30, another late night. You must be... No,
stay put. Good evening out, we've promised you. A good evening out you shall have.
Yes, but you're going to...
No, make yourself home. Liberty Hall. Enjoy yourself.
Thank you.
Oh, good night.
Good night, Mr. Figgis.
Good night, Mr. Figgis. Good night, Mr. Figgis. Good night.
Brandy?
Thank you. Oh, I thought they'd never go, darling.
Well, now that brings us to the part of the program where you do all the work. We're going to give you a short IQ test to measure your IQ, naturally. We're going to ask you 3 simple questions. You can score as follows. If you get 1 right, that's average. 2 right, good. 3 right, brilliant. 4 right, cheat.
And here are the questions. Pencil and paper handy. You have exactly a second in which to answer each question.
And the first question is, complete the following sequence.
And the sequence is, of course, hello, hello, who is your lady friend?
And the second question, in the following picture, who is the odd man out?
And the answer is, of course, George Bernard Shaw. He was a writer, not a circus proprietor.
And lastly, the final question, do you recognize this piece of music?
And the answer is, of course...
Thank you.
Thank you.